You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
You're listening to DPHRO and Rothenberg, DNR, the R&R boys, Rick and the Dick Shindley Challenge, Dave Rothenberg.
I don't read.
Call us what you want, but don't call us lazy. We're up every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. We want to hear from you, so make sure you give us a call. Number, as always, 1-800-919-3776. I'm Rick DiPietro.
I would be a menace as a teenage girl.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
I once played blackjack for 36 straight hours.
We have another great show planned for you today. Yankees take care of their business, complete the sweep of the Texas Rangers. Blue Jays lost to Tampa. Now is the Yankees with a half-game lead for the second wild-card spot, even with Toronto in the loss column. Yankees fans, enjoy your day off tonight because the nine-game sprint to the finish starts Friday in Boston. Mets get Schwarbered. NFL Week 3 kicks off tonight in Houston. Sam Darnold and the Panthers looking to make it 3-0. Yuck. Against Davis Mills and the Texans. Daniel Jones is apparently better than Pat Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before I hand off the show, I'd like to say good morning to my best friend in the whole wide world.
Oh.
Dave Rothenberg.
Oh. Wow. That was touching. That was long. I enjoyed it. That was well done by you.
Oh, thank you very much, David.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
All-inclusive open, really touch on everything.
So Pete, Such, I've overtaken them?
Yeah, you're right there.
Really?
Mount Rushmore of friends.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very nice. I was hoping we would get to this point. I'm taken aback. I'm taken aback.
It happened quicker than I thought it would. I get you all to myself now. You know what I mean? Like, this is just, I get 3 hours of me and you time.
I'm not going to tell you who, but one of the guys behind the glass, either RJ or Raymond, saying, I don't buy it.
Oh, we got bad guys behind the glass. I don't understand.
Saying,
it's
got to
be Santiago.
I'm not telling you who it is, but I'm just telling you one of the two of those guys, quote, I don't buy it. I mean, you put me in a mood. You're trying to butter me up. I'm feeling great. It's a Thursday. Week 3 of the NFL season starts tonight, and I'm in a good mood to begin with. And now you say that, now I'm on cloud nine, and now one of the guys just says it's not true.
Well, Santiago's been a wet blanket the entire, I mean, ever since his Price is Right debacle. He wants to punch callers in the face.
Price
hanging
is
up
Right,
on
I want to say minus 299.
That's very good. That's very good. But the beautiful thing about that is, that was fine. But then 30 seconds later, I'm not playing the Price is Right way. So that to me is the best part of the whole thing. He's the Price is Right guy, and then he's not, all within like a 30-second span.
And then he's not, and then the second guess was actually almost worse.
No. The second guess was worse. Because I don't even remember what the numbers were, but for example, I said 100, you said 50, and he said 54. Like, why? Why would you ever do that? It was fundamentally so wrong. And I don't know a lot about a lot. But that was one thing that I know. You go 51. Well, that's what you do. You go 51.
Yeah, he was the equivalent of the New York Mets playing the Price is Right the other day.
Boy, that was, they laid over last night, huh?
They are not going down with a fight at all.
No, No, Alonzo said, you know, we got 11 games left. We really got to finish strong. Why? Just because we do. Well, they're not. They are not.
No, they're not. That was embarrassing last night. I don't even want to. I mean, I'd rather not even talk about it because it was that embarrassing. I mean, to the point where they're doing, I mean, you got media guide musings for multiple innings
that,
in the booth.
That is, come on. How funny is that, though?
Well, it's hilarious, but I mean, it could be one of the most disrespectful things you can do while your team is playing.
They are so bad that and that specific game is so unwatchable that the guys Gary Cohen, Ron Darling, Keith Hernandez, they're just going to read old media guides and just go through, and then in game 4 of the 2000 LCS this and it's funny, but you're right, it's pathetic,
completely ignoring what's going on the field.
By the way,
speaking
of that, did you see what they put on the Fenway scoreboard when J.D. Davis came to the plate last night?
No, I didn't see it. What they put up there?
I mean, not only are the Mets pathetic on the field, they're pathetic off the field. You ready for this?
Yeah,
so you know, it'll have like a stat, like, you know, this guy was All-American in college, or you know, he was, you know, 3-time batting champion in the Big 12 or something like that, right?
Yeah, or like congratulations on your divorce.
Right, right. Well, that's just a fan that happened to have that.
Oh, okay.
But it says J.D. Davis, New York Mets, right? First at bat K, hitting .288, 5 home runs, 23 RBIs on the year. And then it has like a stat about him or a piece of information about him. J.D. Davis is a member of the Mets Cookie Club, a group of teammates that really enjoy eating cookies. Yes. Yes.
I didn't even realize they had a cookie club.
First of all, who doesn't enjoy eating cookies? Do you need to be part of a special club to enjoy eating cookies?
Cookie?
Everybody enjoys cookies.
I want to know who's not in the cookie club.
Right.
I got questions.
I don't need to know
that.
Who's in it. I want to know who's not in it.
Yes.
Those are the people that should be outed.
What's not, on a cookie?
Not I enjoy an Oreo. Who doesn't enjoy a Nilla wafer? Who doesn't enjoy an Oreo? Who doesn't enjoy a cookie?
Give me a little cookie.
You give me a little cookie in the vanilla wafer in that banana pudding.
You think Carlos Carrasco, it's his club?
Maybe Cookie Carrasco started the cookie club. If I gave you a choice, though, Chips Ahoy or Oreo, what are you going with?
Everybody!
I think, or well, you know what they have now? These new golden Oreos. Have you seen those?
I have seen those.
Oh, Sherry buys those. It's very difficult to stay away from them.
That's a problem, though. You can't have Oreos in the house. There's no one.
Yeah,
I don't care how much willpower you have. You can't go into a box, into a sleeve of Oreos and just say, I'm going to have a couple Oreos.
No, I can't. So Sundays I take off now, right? Sundays I enjoy. I have a bacon, egg, and cheese
cheat day,
for breakfast. Yeah, it's my cheat day. And then when the Giants lose, then I really will explode with the cheat day. So there's the
I was fat at one point.
There is the golden Oreos, and I must have had, I don't know, 15 to 20 the other day on Sunday.
Yeah, I got no problem with that on a cheat day.
Yeah.
Oh. Treat yourself.
But I pop them in like they're M&Ms. Like, they're so good.
Well, they're small now. I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, even, like, I can't even tell you the last time. It was probably the last bad game I had, which was quite a few bad games in the NHL, and I would, like you, I destroy myself with fast food, so it was Wendy's and McDonald's. And you get the Big Mac now. Big Mac isn't that big anymore.
No.
As a kid,
it
felt
big. In a very long time.
I mean, you know, as a kid, a Big Mac feels like, okay, this is, I mean.
Well, as a kid, when you're little, a Big Mac is big.
Yeah, but the nostalgia of it is, okay, I'm going to get a Big Mac, give me the fries, and then give me a side of nuggets. And now when I'm trying to punish myself, I get the Big Mac, the side of nuggets. It's not enough food.
Really?
It's
not enough punishment for you.
No, exactly right. Now I got to go to Wendy's.
Give me 3 Big Mac punishments.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Now, I made that mistake the first time, and I was like, I'm not going to let this happen a second time. Now, I'm going to go to Wendy's and McDonald's. So, now I'm going. Now, I'm getting a...
You really have problems.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah.
So
well, if I'm going to do it, I'm doing it big.
You will go Wendy's. You will gorge yourself at Wendy's, and you're in such a way that you want to punish yourself. Then you go to a second fast food restaurant?
Yeah, but think about this, though. You have the opportunity, right? I drive right by Wendy's, and then I'm, you know, a couple minutes from McDonald's, so I'm getting the best of both worlds. I mean, you can't beat McDonald's fries. I mean, what are we talking about?
McDonald's
here?
Fries are phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I understand eating yourself and punishing yourself, but 2 separate locations?
Yes. Well, we're talking now because I got to get Dave. I need the chicken sandwich. I get the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's. Get the Frosty for dessert. And now McDonald's, I'm going Big Mac. I'm going nuggets. I'm going fries.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of punishment that needs to happen here.
Before we get into the Yankees, you want me to make you feel really old right now? Really old?
I mean, I already feel really old, but yeah, give it to me.
I think this is one of your idols, Mike Richter, right?
Love Mike Richter.
You love Mike Richter.
Love him.
Guess how old Mike Richter turns today?
50.
55 years old.
55. He looks good for 55.
He looks great for 55, but that's not the point. 55 years old for Mike Richter.
That makes sense. I mean, when I clammed up, when I was supposed to ask Mike Richter a question, and I got like a little schoolgirl and couldn't ask him a question and embarrassed myself. That's about right.
So they said, does anybody have a question? You were just like...
No, they like purposely brought him out. Like, I mean, he was on the bike. They went in and they brought him out because he's such a good dude. And they're like, okay, Rick, he's here. You can ask him your question. And I got clammed right up. Nothing. Not a word.
So they brought him out for you specifically?
Well, they knew. Yeah. I mean, they knew he was my favorite player. Yeah.
But it was just you.
No, he was going to say, I mean, he said they brought him out to say hi to everybody.
Okay.
But they knew that he was my favorite.
They did it for you specifically.
Yeah, and I would be, you know, specifically the one that would want to ask him a question or two, being a goalie and him being my favorite goalie, and nothing.
And how old are you at this point?
Probably 15 or 16, probably 16 years old.
Listen, I don't think that's horrible from you.
No, it's not. But it was, I mean, it's that moment that you want to rise to the occasion.
Of course. But I mean, you're 16. He's your idol. You're nervous. It's a big moment. There's a lot to destroy you over. I don't think that's going to be one of the things I will beat you up over.
No, listen. I don't think
you could have offered him a cookie.
Yeah, I could have. I mean, but just it was one of those ones where I wanted to show out. I wanted him. Oh, that was a great question, Rick. No, nothing.
Yeah, boy, you're going to be the next me. And no, he was like, boy, you're very quiet, son.
Yeah, boy, you kind of suck.
Yeah. But he doesn't say, you got me off the bike for that? He's probably walking back, you got me off the bike for that? Watching kids stare
I don't think
at me.
This kid has a future.
Yeah, he's going to be nothing. All right, so the Yankees last night. I got to tell you, Wynn, Sanchez, producers coming in the game late, Higashioka early, catchers were good last night. It's all very difficult for the Yankees, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it has been all season long. But, I mean, that's... some of the things that they've struggled with. I mean, you saw it last night until that eighth inning, getting runners home from third. You know, that's what they struggle with. I mean, they get that huge gift of, you know, the walks followed up by the wild pitch to tie that thing up. But, I mean, that's – I thought what was interesting about last night, because, again, the bullpen was great again last night,
yep.
Is the
Rangers stink, by the way. Ugh.
No, the Rangers are brutal, yeah. And don't forget Sanchez's throw, too, in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
That was big, too. Coming off the bench, making that throw.
And that's after the big hit from Higashioka, too, earlier.
Well, Higashioka was great. And, dude, by the way, I mean, watching him catch how smooth his hands are framing pitches. I know they talk about, like, you know, Sanchez is on one knee to try to improve his framing of pitches. There were a couple pitches last night where, I mean, even at one point, Kay got fooled. He's like, and there's one right down the middle. And then you watch, like, no, that wasn't down the middle.
Right.
Higashioka made it look like it was right down the middle. But you saw the emotion after that game last night. And I know they played 20 straight days, but having a win like that now going into Boston, I don't even know if I would want the day off.
Just keep rolling.
I mean, you could tell. Like, they know what's at stake. And they know, I mean, this next nine games is going to be crazy for the Yankees and the Yankees fans.
Well, this is really difficult. I mean, when you look at what they have over the next, 11 days, I guess, they're off today. They're off Monday. But it's Red Sox for three, and you don't see Sale, which is good, and then it's Blue Jays for three, and then it's Rays for three. And the Rays are going to want to beat you. I mean, you saw what they just did to Toronto. They're going to want to and try to beat you. This is no easy task. But, you know,
well,
tonight
hopefully, though,
you have the day off.
Here's the thing, though. Hopefully now they hate the Jays more than they hate you after what happened with the whole Kiermaier situation.
I heard people defending Kiermaier, and I don't know your take on it. I haven't heard it. Come on, give me a break. You can't pick up their like cheat code card and just walk off with it.
Carlin has no problem with it at all.
He's wrong.
See, I think he's wrong too. I mean, he knows what he did. And they caught you. They asked you for it. I see what you're trying to do. I probably would have done the same thing. Oh, this is laying around. I'd take a quick peek at this. But then they come to get it back. You're like, no, we're not giving it back.
Which is embarrassing, no?
It's almost like, listen, Tampa, you're too good to kind of get yourself mixed up in this stupidity. He dropped it. You picked it up. Great. Take a peek. They ask for it back. They catch you. I'll give it back. But, I mean, you knew what was going to happen last night. You knew exactly what was going to happen yesterday afternoon.
No, I don't.
That's baseball.
It's a shame to me that the retribution for that is you take a fastball in your back.
Well, there's nothing else you can do, really. I mean, I hate
guess
it.
Not.
I mean, playing baseball, I hate it. Right? I mean, that even happens in men's league baseball. Stuff like that happens, and
they
it sucks.
Throw at you in men's league baseball?
Oh, yeah. It gets real. It gets
really?
Chippy. It gets chippy in men's league baseball. Oh, yeah.
That's kind of gross.
Guys are competitive, man. This is the thing with men's league sports, hockey. I mean, there's fights in hockey all the time, too. Is a lot of the reason why the guys play it is because they're looking for that competition. And they get riled up.
Really?
Riled up.
I didn't like what he did. No, I'm surprised that anybody would defend him. I mean,
see why he did it, though. Yeah, I mean, this is...
Really?
I would have done the same thing. In the heat of the moment, you would have done the same thing.
I don't know
if I would have kept it like that. Like, they came and asked for it, and I'm like, no, you can't have it back.
I mean, you stole it. If $100 fell out of his pocket, would you take that and run off with it?
If $100, no.
All right.
No, just because I know I'm on camera.
Right. I mean, it's not yours. It fell out of his pocket because there was a collision at home plate, and now you just... That was very funny, too. It's like, oh, look at this. Let me take that.
Well, yeah, he was trying to figure out what... He was like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take that. What's the risk you run, though? I mean, with all these catches wearing the wristbands and everything else.
I get it, but I don't know. I mean, we talk
about
the
Astros.
But
doesn't that drive you crazy about baseball? We're at that point now where everyone, I mean, infielders, outfielders, catchers, pitchers have to have cards in their hats and their wristbands and everything else.
Well, that's how advanced the game is, that you need scouting reports on
everybody. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing either,
but it's not. The point is not whether it's a good thing or not. The point is that you drop something that is yours. This guy knew it was yours and just decided to really, in essence, steal it.
Yeah, but I think it's different, though. I don't think it's as simple as that. Like, dropping money out of your pocket is different. I mean, this is, you know, you're in high school and teacher's walking out, drops the test out of his bag. You're going to give it right back? Or you're going to take a peek at it?
You're going to take a peek.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I think you're going to take a peek.
Now, but if he catches you...
Are you on camera doing that?
Well, no, you're not on camera. That's what makes that whole thing even more interesting, is that they caught him. He's caught on camera, so, you know, the Blue Jays know he has it and he took it.
But then he wouldn't give it back.
No, I know, but at that... Yeah, I have a hard time... One way or the other, just because I know if I'm in that spot, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have picked it up and looked at it for sure. Because you're always
picking
looking for
it
the
up
edge.
And looking at it is one thing. Picking it up and leaving with it and then not returning it is a completely different entity altogether. All right. I mean, that's where we are, though. But the Rays, Blue Jays, that's interesting. Rays, Yankees, that ends the season. So you end the season. I mean, talk about controlling your own destiny. You don't have to worry about anybody. You play well, you're the Yankees, and you will be in the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, I found out moments ago, Santiago, very handy.
Yeah, fixed a toilet all day yesterday.
Fixed a toilet by himself. Goes to the hardware store, broken valve, replaces that. I mean, you're like MacGyver.
Well, listen, after the rough day that you guys and everybody else gave me yesterday, I guess this is my karma for, you know, firing everyone up in that way. Go home, break a toilet. All right, you've got to deal with this.
You know what? It makes perfect sense. Think about this. You were a jerk, and you've been a jerk, right? And let's be honest. You threatened me. You threatened Lonnie. You've been miserable the last couple days. You go home, toilet is broken. You think that's coincidental, or you think that's because someone is looking down on you saying, Raymond, stop being a jerk?
It's entirely possible that that's the case. I'm still not apologizing, though.
Yeah, you treated people like crap, and you got home, and you had to deal with...
I can only say thank God that the water issue involved was not the sewage water, but the water supply. Ooh. So thank you for that.
But I am impressed. I'm sincerely impressed that you could fix a toilet.
It honestly wasn't that hard. It's one of those situations where, like, you know, where you get really insistent and you're like, there's no way in hell I'm calling a plumber and having somebody come in here and I have to pay him money to fix this. I'm doing this myself.
Know. No, I don't know. I would have been on the phone with the plumber. I wouldn't even. I see water. Hello.
There are no Sherry Rothenbergs in my household.
Yeah.
Well, Dave would have called the Coast Guard.
No, I would have called. No, I would. Here's what I would have done.
Sherry.
I would have said, Sherry, there's water. The toilet has water on the outside. We need some help here. She would have come up, and either one of two things happens. She either fixes it, or she says to me, I don't know what's wrong. You better call the plumber. And then I just dive into action. Then that's my specialty. Call the plumber. All right. Got a couple plumbers on speed dial. Make the call. Get them here quickly. I'm great with vendors.
I'm with you, Santiago, though. If I can fix, like, especially that, like, I had an experience where the toilet was clogged up, and Cass is like, we can't fix this. We got to call the plumber. Plumber rolls into the driveway in an S500. And he comes in. He's like, we're going to have to snake that.
In an S500.
Oh, S500. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, 150 now. And then when we come back and snake it, we'll charge you the rest. I was like, well, what's this 150 for? Well, I had to come up. I had to see what was wrong with it. I was like, well, I told you what was wrong with it.
Why are you looking down on the plumber?
Well, I'm not.
Well, listen, you have to know your limitations. Like, if it's anything involving a snake or you have to unclog anything, it's like, okay, you know, I'm tapping out. But
he's chosen a career in aquatics, and he comes there, and he's fixing your issues. You can't fix it.
No,
he provides a service.
Good for him.
Great for him.
But I knew the second he rolled up in an S500 that it was going to be pricey, and then he decides it's 150 just to look at the toilet. Didn't touch anything. I said, what's the 150 for? Is this
That's
part
for his
of
show
like,
up time.
Because he showed up.
Yeah.
I had to see what's wrong
with
the toilet.
As a kid, by the way. Big trouble as a kid.
Why? What did you flush down the toilet?
Tissue.
Well, how much tissue did you flush down the toilet?
Well, I got enough
like
to get
box?
It backed up to the point where a plumber had to come.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You were one of those kids?
Like, flush it! What do you mean? What does that mean? There's a group of children that do this kind of thing? I didn't know better. I was a little kid.
Some kids.
I was probably blowing my nose. I had no idea. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? I'll flush it down the toilet. I didn't know. I didn't know it didn't, you know, didn't break apart, that it had to be toilet paper. I learned a lesson, and I haven't made that same mistake since.
No,
I think that was money well spent. I think it was money well spent.
There are some kids that are fascinated by flushing stuff down the toilet.
No, I don't have like a fetish. I'm not taking like,
a toilet fetish.
I'm not taking a toothbrush and flushing it down the toilet. All I'm saying, like, I took the tissue. I flushed it down the toilet. It didn't end well. My parents had to get a plumber. They were very angry at me. They were very disappointed in me. And I never made that mistake again.
Yeah, because you were too busy using the tissues for other things as you got older.
Well, I still could have flushed them down the toilet, though. Didn't prevent me from that.
No, you can't flush those down the toilet. The tissues don't go down the toilet.
Well, now I know that. And now I can impart that wisdom onto other people. All right. Speaking of wisdom, speaking of some interesting sound from the Yankees, let's take a listen to Aaron Boone. They win last night, trail 3-0, 7 unanswered runs, offense in the 8th inning, very, very good, all with 2 outs. Here's Aaron Boone on the team responding after being down.
Yeah, it was big. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't great early. You know, I thought Klub actually threw the ball pretty well, and, you know, we got soft contacted again a little bit. So we found ourselves in a little bit of a hole there. You know, Higgy has a really good at-bat where it looks like the wind probably knocked something down there. But I thought the at-bats got really competitive there at the end. We did some really good things on both sides of the ball there the second half of the game, and then put together some really good winning at-bats there to put it away at the end. So, you know, a sluggish start to things, a really strong finish to things.
I sounds like a football coach. We did some good things on each side of the ball there. But here's the thing, Rick. You have 9 games left. No more Texas Rangers. No more Cleveland Indians. No more Baltimore Orioles. You cannot afford to have, as he says, quote, a sluggish start anymore.
No, you can't. And you can't afford to make mistakes. And, oh, well, listen, we got Yankees callers that call in. I mean, we've done it just because, I mean, I'm actually shocked with where he's at as a player. But, I mean, when he does have the kind of game and do the kind of things he did last night, Gleyber Torres, the heads-up base running, the slide. I mean, that's a huge double scoring Gallo. And then the fact that he scored from second, great slide. I mean, that's a positive sign here moving forward. He's starting to heat up,
but that's what makes it so frustrating with him and Sanchez, is that you see that. And then you think to yourself, why can't I get more of that? Why does it have to be so many days where it's bad Gary Sanchez and bad Gleyber Torres?
It's got to be mental. I mean, that's why I always go back to that. It has to be mental. They have a hard time locking in, staying focused. I mean, get down on themselves. I mean, whatever it is, it's not physical. I mean, you see the physical talent. And by the way, I can't have Luke Voit playing first base.
Oh, God. He's a disaster, 9. Huh?
Yeah, I can't have it.
Oh, he's lucky they didn't call that error early on. And then he had the one where he hits the runner in the back. He's brutal.
So nonchalant, too. Like, there's just a whip and throw it.
Well, it's
right
almost like
back.
He's throwing it underhand.
Yeah, he threw it sidearm, yeah.
Like submarining it over there.
Right into the, the runner's back.
He couldn't have hit him between the numbers any better.
That was perfect.
Right between the numbers.
And by the way, too, how about Tyler Wade, too? Off the bench, steals second, steals third.
Yeah.
Nice to have that kind of weapon off the bench.
It is. It's not. You know what's nice? It's nice to have Higashioka get on pinch run for him, and then you go to Sanchez, and then you use Wade. Like, that's pretty nice there for the Yankees.
That is nice to have. I'll be interested to see what happens on Friday, too. Gerrit Cole coming back, bounce back start. I mean, you got to imagine it's going to be Higashioka behind the plate, right?
I'm sure it will be. That's his guy, yeah.
This is going to be fun. I know people think I'm like a closet Yankees fan, which I'm not. I just enjoy competitive baseball. This is...
What do you think they need to do? 9 games, 3-3-3, Boston, Toronto, Tampa. What record do you say you're fine? If I give you 6-3 right now, that gets in.
6-3.
That gets in. I think.
Well, I think it depends on who. I mean,
it's hard to envision you're going to catch Boston unless you sweep them.
No, yeah, that's the thing though. So, I mean, you got to go back to what the Blue Jays have coming up. Right, so you go 6-3.
So they have got to win at least
two. You got to win at least two against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that to me, and not just to me, I think that's the biggest series. The Blue, not that you can afford to get hammered by Boston, but you're going to need to win 2 out of 3 against Toronto.
Yeah, so I mean, we said this yesterday. So today, the Blue Jays are in Minnesota.
Right,
they have a 4-game set
on the mound
against
for the Twins.
Against Mats. Yeah. So they got 4 against Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then they finish off with 3 against the Orioles. So you would imagine out of those 7,
They're going to win 6.
5 or 6 at least, right?
They're going to sweep Baltimore, and I think they go 3-1 this series, and they're looking at 6-1. So if you win 2 out of 3 against them, now they're tied
7
with you.
7-3.
Right? If you go 6-3 and they go 7-3, they're tied with you. So this. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. The thing is, you've put yourselves in position where unless you have a great 9 games, you're going to be on the outside looking in.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We are involved with the Jets-Broncos game this week, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we are. So,
what would you do?
Oh, I would take the Jets plus the points.
You got to, yeah. I mean, that's the play.
Yeah. So if you take the Jets plus the points, you win 250, and they cover, you win 250, or you could take the Jets to win outright, and you win $1,000. I find it hard to believe the Jets win the game outright. No.
Yeah, very hard. You got no Bradley Chubb.
Nope.
He just had surgery.
Nope.
They got a
but
good.
It sounds like Crowder's not going to play again now, too.
Yeah, I mean, he had a setback. I mean, apparently Zach Wilson's dealing with a bit of a groin that he tweaked in that Patriots game. Mims can't get on the field. I will tell you this, though. I've been pleasantly surprised. The secondary hasn't been that bad.
Well, let's wait and see.
No, I know wait and see. But here's my point after 2 weeks is, and remember I said this, new head coach, rookie head coach, but the fact, he was a defensive coordinator, a really good defensive coordinator. You would hope that would rub off on your team's defense. And through 2 weeks.
Yes, that's true. It has
been
good through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It has. And then I guess on the K show, they get the Giants and the Falcons. So for that one now, I could take the Giants to win outright 250, Giants to cover the number 1,000. Now there I'd have to take the Giants.
You're laying the points.
Right? The Giants are only giving 3.
Yeah, you got to lay the points.
Now,
your quarterback's better than Patrick Mahomes. And Russell Wilson. I mean,
why do you do this to me?
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I mean, you saw what it said. I'm sitting here looking at it right now.
All right, we'll get to it later, okay?
That should make you feel good.
He's not better than those guys.
I'm trying to pump you up.
No, you're not. You're trying to mock me.
I'm not trying to mock
you. I mean, come on. Clearly, it's what you're doing. You're mocking me. You're trying to make fun of the Giants. See, because I don't make fun of the Jets. I won't stoop to that level because I know it upsets you. I know it pains you. I won't do it. RJ does it. Raymond does it. I don't do it. But for
you're dealing with your own issues. RJ roots for the Niners, who are good.
Right.
Santi roots for the Cowboys, who look like they're probably going to win the division.
They are odds-on favorite to win the division.
Yeah, and we root for teams that stink.
Stink. But still... I don't give you a hard time, and in turn, you do with me. Why?
I'm trying to pump you up. Listen,
you're not trying to pump me up. You're trying to mock me.
How many times do I need to tell you? I, as a person, as a kid, I really like Daniel Jones a lot, and I hope he succeeds. He's made of the right stuff to play in the city. Teammates love him. He just has the perfect temperament to be the quarterback of the Giants. So I want him to have success.
Me too.
So it's nice to see that, I mean, through 2 weeks, in a bunch of different rankings, I mean, he's right up there at the top.
Great. All right. We will get into that in a little bit. Maybe the 6 o'clock hour, and then it's observations and did it happen in Florida. Let's get into the Yankees calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Brian in Millburn. Brian, lead us off this morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing? I'm a big fan. Yeah, I know that. I got a good question. Who or what person keep making the decision that he could have cost us a game last night, putting him at first base? Well, Rizzo is a way better defensive player, and he's hitting about 300 against lefties. I just don't understand the concept that we keep doing that when these games mean so much. I just don't understand.
I don't like it either, but you know what the thought process had to be. Lefty against lefty, and we don't want that. We would rather have Void against a tough lefty, and that's the direction we're going to go in.
You still want to get him at bats, right? I mean, that's part of it. And you also, the Yankees like to do it. They have the day off today, so they like to give players the day when they can take advantage of the 2 days.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry.
I know. I don't disagree.
There's no more taking advantage of the extra day off. Your backs are to the wall. You're down to 10 games going into the game last night left in the season. You have the next day off. It's not like the guy is running an extra marathon. You can play first base on the Wednesday night.
I don't disagree with you, but this is the Yankees we're talking about. And this is what they do. They don't believe in hot and cold, and they like to take advantage of having the day off.
It's ridiculous. You cannot take advantage of having the day off at this point.
No, you can't do it. And, I mean, he did. He's not. Anthony Rizzo is a gold glove caliber first baseman.
Then put him there.
I said it to begin the show. I agree with you. But, you also want to get Luke Voigt some at-bats, too, I would imagine.
Well, you know what? Maybe you can't. I mean, you're not in a position where you can, and I'm not attacking you. I'm just, like, if I was a Yankees fan, that would drive me crazy. I have a great defensive first baseman, and because I'm going up against who, Taylor Hearn, I'm not going to play Anthony Rizzo?
Yeah, I can't.
It doesn't make sense.
I can't co-sign that.
It doesn't make sense. It never will. Johnny in Deer Park. Johnny, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I think the Yankees need to go like 7-2. 2 out of 3 from Boston, 2 or 3 out of Toronto, and hopefully they sweep Tampa, because at least Tampa will probably be resting their players because they already got that division.
No way. There is zero chance, Johnny, that next weekend Tampa says, you know what, Yankees, you have your way with us. Zero chance.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. But I have a question, because I think it's supposed to rain in the East Coast. If that game tomorrow in Boston is rained out in a doubleheader, most likely on Saturday, who benefits, Boston or the Yankees?
I think Boston now, because I think the Yankees, and Ricky, tell me what you think, and thanks for the call. I think the Yankees at the moment, their bullpen is better, and to shorten the games is an advantage for the Red Sox.
Yeah, but you also have Gerrit Cole on the mound, though.
Yeah, so maybe he goes the entire way for you, but then
so
you have another
you all,
game.
He give you the full 7.
Now, does Boston play Monday? I guess would be my question.
I can tell you right now, David, if Boston plays on Monday.
Because the Yankees do not play Monday, right? Yankees are off on Monday. So if Boston would be off on Monday as well, then you could just go Saturday, Sunday, Monday as your 3-game set.
And push it?
Well, just push it instead of playing a doubleheader on Saturday.
I think the Red Sox are off Monday.
So you could play it on Monday. Or I guess they could do I guess they could do a doubleheader Saturday or a doubleheader Sunday. Because Sunday is the night game, right? It's the ESPN game.
I would probably want the day off as a player. I think it would be nice. Play that. It's going to be a stressful series. That 3-game series is going to be a stressful series. Get the day off, regroup, going into that Blue Jays series.
Yeah. Well, but it's not about what you want. If you're the Yankees, it's about what Major League Baseball would do.
No, I know, but I mean, to have my ace on the mound for a 7-inning game,
yeah,
no one can go all 7.
Yeah, you know what, though, in speaking with Johnny and thinking about this, you got to go 7-2. I mean, how do you get to 7-2? You're going to go 2-3 sweep? How can I believe that's going to happen?
Well, you're going to have to sweep something. I mean, you go 2-3 sweep the Jays. I mean, that would be best case scenario. 2-3 against the Red Sox, sweep the Jays.
Feels unrealistic, no? I'm going to go on the road in Toronto and sweep the Jays?
Yeah, I don't love your chances. No, I mean, I don't love your chances to do that. I mean, this Yankees team has struggled sweeping teams, too.
They've really put themselves in a really tough position. I mean, they've really painted themselves into a corner here, haven't they?
You have to
go to Boston and win 2-3. You have to go to Toronto and 2-3. And in a minimum, you have to then beat Tampa 2-3. Like, if the Yankees do anything less than 6-3, they're not getting into the postseason.
Depending on what happens to the Blue Jays, who have an easier schedule.
But here's the thing. If you're tied, if you come out of the Toronto series, again, and let's just assume that Boston is going to be in, right? They're two games in the loss column right now, and they, outside of you, they have an easy rest of the way. So if you're the Yankees and you come out of the Toronto series tied, and you take on Tampa, and they take on, who do they have the final three? They have
Baltimore.
Washington?
Who?
Who do they have?
Toronto has Baltimore.
How could you can't like your chances there.
No, you can't. I mean, but the alternative was, I mean, you don't take care of your business against the Rangers, and you don't control your own destiny. But they did that. They took care of their business, so now they go into these, and it's not going to be easy. You're right. I mean, it's 9 games against 3 really good teams, and the reality is you haven't played well in your own division. It's part of the reason why you're in the spot you're in.
I don't think they get in. I always thought they would, and I'm sitting here now analyzing it, and I don't know, man. This is hard. I don't see the Yankees getting in. With the schedules those other teams have, with what you have on your plate, and with the way you've played in the big spots this year, I'm not saying they can't, but if I had to put money on it, I would say they don't get in.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel like at the moment. I mean, if you were to ask me which two teams get in, you look at their schedules, and I mean, how well... I mean both teams. I mean, the Jays in September, what Boston's done lately, I mean, they're going to have their hands full. Yeah. But, I mean, at least if you're a Yankees fan, as bad as this season has been, as up and down as it's been, at least you know going into these 9 games that you control your own fate.
Right. But you're going to have to go 7-2 in those 9 to really confirm that you're going to get in. If the Yankees do not get in, have the Yankees had the most disappointing season in all of baseball?
Yeah, Yankees probably number one. If the Padres don't get in, I would put them right there at the top
of
the list too.
Well, they're not going to get in. They lost again last night. St. Louis wins their 11th in a row. Padres won't get in. Mets have had a disaster of a season. And I don't think the Mets not getting in is that catastrophic. I think the way the Mets will not get in and have just hemorrhaged the second half of the season is what makes it so disconcerting.
I think it's all of it. I think it's just how the entire season unfolded from top to bottom. From moves, from everything. I mean, the GM, the ball, all of it. None of it's good.
It's awful.
It's same old Mets. I mean, all the things that we were trying to get away from, we're right back in the middle.
It feels like it never left. Let's take a listen to the shortstop, Francisco Lindor. Here he is on not making the playoffs for his Mets.
Yeah, I came here to win. It sucks that we're not in that position where we are in first place. You know, that sucks for sure. But I think we still got a little bit of a fight left in us, which I love that. You know, we being September and still being competing, it's good. But it sucks that, like I said, that I'm not in first place. And we're not in first place.
A little bit of fight left in us.
There's no fight.
I mean, they laid down like dogs last night. How could he say something like that?
I don't know. I mean, they were an embarrassment last night.
A little bit of fight. At least we have a little bit of fight left in us. I have never seen a team roll over worse than the Mets did last night. They didn't want to be there.
That was no fight last night. I mean, that was, I mean, you name it. The things that happened last night.
They gave in. Walker was bad, and they completely gave in. They wanted no part of that game last night. And to sit here, I mean, listen, he's a likable guy. But he says some stuff that it makes you scratch your head. You know, it stinks that we're not in first place. First place, Rick. You can't even see first place from where you are. How can you make a statement like it stinks we're not in first place? You know what? It stinks the Giants aren't in first place too. It just stinks. But I would never say something like that because it's asinine. You sound ridiculous.
No, what stinks is that when you were in first place, is that you couldn't find a way to put some distance between yourselves and everybody else.
You want to say that? You want to say, you know what, we were in first place for a long time and it stinks that we fell apart? That's fine. But to say it stinks we're not in first place, you're nowhere near first place. You're closer to the Marlins, to the Nationals, than you are to the Braves.
Their second half has been bad.
Atrocious.
It's been really bad. I mean, you said Taiwan Walker. I mean, his second half hasn't been good. At some point, you knew the innings wouldn't catch up to him. I mean, it's just, it's not just on the field stuff, though, Dave. That's the frustrating part. I mean, it starts at the top. I mean, go back to what Buster Olney said. Like, it's probably worse now with this new ownership than it was with the Wilpons.
How is that possible?
I have no idea. That's one of the scariest things as a Mets fan you could possibly hear at the moment, is that it's worse now than it was with the Wilpons. They need to overhaul this entire thing. They got a bunch of decisions to make this offseason.
So let me ask you, Conforto, what are you doing?
You're gonna qualify him,
right?
And we'll see if he wants to accept
it. So it's up to him, I guess, then, right?
Yeah, he makes the call.
Right. Okay. Syndergaard.
He pitched last night. Rehab started, I guess, went pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I think he threw an inning, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to qualify him. You can't just let him walk.
No, you can't. Bias.
It depends on how much say Lindor has. I mean, but you now see, here's the thing, though. You start listing names. I mean, we all agree something has to change, right? They're going to have a new president of baseball operations who's going to hire a GM, who's going to hire a new manager. And the manager better be someone like Buck Showalter, because this team
It won't be.
It has to be. There needs to be some level of accountability. We can't sit here and wax poetic about Lou and Barry Trotz and how well that's worked, and then look at this Mets team with all this talent and how they've underachieved and not think that has something to do with it. Because it absolutely does.
I think it has a ton to do with it. But you have faith that the Mets will do the right thing in hiring their next regime?
Depending on who they hire?
Do you have faith that the Mets will hire the right guys, though?
I think there are guys that they would like to hire. I don't know at the moment. I mean, it's all up to, you know, whether these guys want to take the job. I mean, they couldn't get anyone to take the job last year.
No, I know, which is amazing. That you have more money than any team in baseball, and you and guys are not running to work for your organization, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, so that, again, going back to what Buster said, I mean, there has to be more going on that we don't know about. And when you have that kind of money and no one wants your job, I mean, it's New York, it's the Mets, the ability to go out and spend money, I mean, that should be an attractive job.
It should be.
And you're in charge.
Billy Bean moves the needle for you?
Yeah, Billy Bean moves the needle.
Yep. Epstein, I know, must.
Of course.
Yep.
You need you need someone to come in here and look at what this team is and not have any, because I think a lot of the times, I think Brian Cashman's one of his flaws, and I think he's really good at what he does, is I think sometimes he gets emotionally attached to players.
Oh, he absolutely does.
Because they're his guys. And when you start involving emotion, you make bad decisions. Like, that's what makes Bill Belichick great. I mean, he's ruthless like that.
That's right. Richard Seymour, great player, dominant defensive lineman. You know what? I can get a first-round pick for him. Gone. Goodbye.
Yeah, Lawyer Malloy. I mean, you name it. Like, he doesn't care. What's in the best interest of his team is what he does.
I love that.
And that's what you need right now. But, I mean, you start listing names off, and now it ends up looking like the same team we had this year. Right?
But that's your concern. Honestly, that's my concern for both teams. Like, if Cashman and Boone come back, what Yankees do they say, you know, we're going to move on from you? They move on from Sanchez? I don't know. They move on from Glaber? I don't think so. So what, right? So they bring back Rizzo? Fine. Do they move on from Voit? Like, what? How do they look different? And the same thing with the Mets. The same thing. Because if they bring back Baez, you know Lindor is going to be here forever. Alonso's going to be here. Where are they going to bring different guys and move on from? Cano's going to be, I don't know what they're going to do with him next year. I mean, I would suggest buying him out and being done with him, but we'll see what happens there. So you need to make sweeping changes, I think, for both teams.
Sweeping changes, yeah. I don't know how sweeping the changes can be. I guess that's ultimately what it ends up being. How sweeping can the changes be? I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, you just said it. I mean, Alonso's going nowhere. If you have a DH, now all of a sudden, I mean, does that mean that you slide Dom Smith into first and have Alonso
as a DH? Well, he's had a disappointing season, too.
No, I know, but how much of that is him playing left field, not getting enough at-bats and everything else? I mean, J.D. Davis feels like he's gone. I don't even know at this point is Jeff McNeil an everyday player at this point?
No, he's not. Jeff McNeil is a, and I, they should have traded him.
Well, you said both teams, though. I mean, you made Luke Voit. I mean, you could have got, I mean, that was the height of his value was after last season.
The Yankees had a lot of that, right?
Too I mean, much
and
of it.
And Duhar, you should have traded, he didn't. Luke Voit, you should have traded, he didn't. Like, both of these teams had opportunities to make changes to better themselves, and they held on to guys for too long.
The one thing about the Mets, though, I think is interesting is, and you see it in all different sports, every sport has it, where you have, you know, a team that on paper looks really good, that underachieves, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, a change in leadership from the top, manager changes, coach changes, there's some accountability, and then all of a sudden the talent starts to reach its potential.
Yep.
Because the Mets are talent. You can't. I mean, the Mets are talent.
Listen, if given the right leadership and run appropriately, the Mets absolutely could win this division next year.
You say that, but I still, I mean, the giant elephant in the room in saying that is still what's going on with Jacob DeGrom's elbow.
That's right. And we really do not know.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.